Hi, everyone. This is Jason and Jeremiah, and this is the Destruction Reviews podcast. If you're listening to us for the first time, you can find us on Google, Apple, and Spotify. We also have a Facebook fan group page, Destruction Reviews fan group, as well as we're on X or Twitter at Destruction Pod. And today we're going to be discussing the most recent events in Israel. We are recording on October 11th. About 4 days ago, the Hamas military group invaded the occupied territory of the Gaza Strip that the Israelites were occupying and launched an invasion to essentially take back the area that was controlled originally by the Palestinians and the Egypt people many, many years ago. We're going to get into all that later. But that is what has kind of prompted Jeremiah and I to look into the events and discuss with you our thoughts. And, you know, we don't know everything. We don't know the histories as much as some other people that might be listening. And we're just going to kind of go through and work through our feelings. So, Jeremiah, what are your thoughts kind of a few days into this war?
Like you said, just kind of spitballing here. It's a very sensitive subject, you know, so we want to show respect to others. We're not trying to, talk down or talk up on anybody's behalf. One thing me and Jason do agree on, we are not for war. We're definitely against war at any cost. But we're not picking sides here. We're just giving the facts, and we're giving our beliefs and our thoughts about it. And me personally, okay. So before I have, because we've done a little bit of learning today, and before we did that learning, I didn't know much about Israel history as far as the military, not the Palestinians. Didn't even know Egypt was involved. But from what I've seen, which can be tricky as well, because the media will twist things, as best they can. But from what I've seen, it's pretty brutal over there.
Yeah.
It's pretty brutal. Not good, over in Israel right now.
No, it is sad. It is disturbing. And, you know, the stories that are coming out, just horrific. You know, the people, you know, who lost their lives at this music festival that has been widely covered, just unfortunate. Mm-hmm. The citizens on both sides, you know, the Gaza Strip citizens of Egypt, of Israel, just terrible, man. It's really, you know, it's really hard in Western media over here that there's a very Jewish leaning focus on how the news is presented. You know, they say, oh, the Jews run Hollywood. Well, it's true, and they run a lot of the news media. And so you see a lot of social media posts and, you know, I stand with Israel and this and that, and that's fine for people to do that. But I think everybody should do a service of just kind of looking into the history of how we got here, or how I should say the country of Israel got to it. And, maybe your views might change. I know it did for me when I learned.
I tell you, man, and you know, I see, starting right out, I've already gotten an issue, you know, with people saying I stand with Israel, because you shouldn't be standing with anyone. You should be standing for what's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Forget about Israel. Forget about Hamas. Okay. Okay. What is right here? Okay. And what's right is not going to war. Killing innocent people. Taking accountability. Let's not let people off the hook just because the majority of other people are supporting or moving one way. We shouldn't do that, especially when it comes to war. Lives are at stake. It needs to be called straight down the middle.
Well said, man. I think I'm, you and I probably agree on this. I think we're in the minority where, you know, we feel that the Israelites are at fault for this moment in their history of conflict. And I see a lot of people maybe blindly posting stuff, you know, posting the flag, posting the I stand with stuff. And I just, it's frustrating, man. And, you know, one of the biggest things that come out of this for me is the fact that Israel is a united nation. And when they're at war, or any other united nation is at war, whether it be, you know, any of the countries, countries who are nearby or part of the nation group should help and has to help. Unfortunately, the United States has an aircraft carrier, I believe it's the Gerald R. Ford, near Israel. And the Biden administration is mobilizing that aircraft carrier closer to the conflict area so that they could launch, like, the Top Gun pilots to potentially bomb or even put boots on the ground in this conflict. And I am not for that. I don't support that. Especially one of the other possibilities in this scenario is a few weeks ago, the United States negotiated with Iran to release 5 American hostages for essentially $6 billion.
Wow.
And there are some people who believe that the Hamas group was trained, organized, and sent out of Iran with funding from this $6 billion windfall for the trade. And, you know, I grew up in the 80s. Watching a lot of 80s action movies, and, you know, Rambo and all those guys would say, you know, we don't negotiate with terrorists.
Right.
I mean, that's something any action movie you've ever seen with the military, you see that. And so you listen, that's a phrase that's in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the administration did this is already unthinkable. And then a possibility that it led to this event just saddens me.
I gotta agree with you. It's kind of like, you know, borrowing from Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah.
You know, you call yourself, you know, getting rid of one issue, but in reality, you birth another. And then even worse, put it like this. If we were going to put boots on the ground, if we were going to call fighter scramble jets, then we should have done it to get our own civilians back. Those 6 people, we should have scrambled jets and put boots on the ground to get them home. Not because another country that we have a treaty with is fighting a conflict that we have nothing to do with and we're coming to save their butts. Which might not, to be all honest, it's never panned out well for the United States.
No.
We help everybody, and we always get the short end of the stick. Yeah. Always. We use all our money. We tax the citizens. Strains on the economy. You name it. It never ends well for the United States when we stick our noses into other people's business. And you know what is interesting about this? The UN, they got treaties with... We're not the only people they have treaties with, yet we're the ones who always, when it comes to, hey, we need help, it's always America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that just seems kind of unfair. It's unfair to our troops, and it's unfair to the people who live here, man. We don't want to be involved in a war. We just don't. And to be all honest, we can't afford it. with everything we've gone through, and I will say what the last 5 years, COVID, all the politics, which is a disaster right now. The United States politics and the government system has never been worse.
Right.
And this is just going to, oh man, this is going to send everything into just all out chaos. All out chaos.
I am. So we will get into the sort of the history of where we are with Israel as far as like how we got here. But I just want to finish the sort of the U.S. part of this talk is so since 1996, when I became a registered voter, I have always been I've always voted on the Democratic ticket. I've always felt like their views kind of mirrored mine.
Okay.
And I voted for, you know, everybody, whether it was Clinton or John Kerry or Obama, whatever. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it got me thinking, like, A, I don't agree with the negotiating with terrorists and trading the money for the troops. And I don't agree with potentially putting boots on the ground or getting, you know, in this conflict that has literally been probably going on since Jesus was born.
Right. It's been going on for a very long time.
So like, like I just, you know, the U.S. doesn't have to save everybody. You know, mm-hmm. it didn't work in Vietnam. It didn't work in Somalia. It didn't work in,
where were the weapons of mass destruction?
Yeah. In Iraq.
It didn't work there.
You know, and you know, mm-hmm. Afghanistan was, I guess, a success, but it completely crippled, you know, everything Jeremiah just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So
not to mention, Afghanistan claims that they need more help.
Yeah.
They still are a democracy, you know?
Right. So, I came to an epiphany last night that, you know, for the first time in, you know, since I was 18, I'm 44 now, I'm not going to be supporting the Democratic ticket this year. If Biden is if he's the choice, mm-hmm. this administration has not given me faith to support it. And I'm not going to support the Republican Party. I personally will not support, you know, their ticket. And so I think I'm going to go for the independent voice right now, which is Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Okay.
He is somebody who is been a Democrat. He is now running as an independent, but he is independent of a lot of things that has splintered our country, whether it be super PACs or catering to corporations or catering to big businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if, you know, a year from now when we talk about the election, whether or not that's going to be the winning vote, but it's the vote I support. And I don't know if we ever put boots on the ground in Israel,
mm-hmm.
but the fact that they are already mobilizing, and if it comes back in a year or who knows, 6 months, that the $6 billion did fund this, I can't support it anymore. And, you know, so I think I'm going to be Kennedy in 24. Jeremiah, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, man. The Biden administration, I'm just going to be honest, they failed, man. They have failed in multiple ways. It's just a long list, but at the head of it is the whole war thing. We have got to stop getting to these near points of war. We have to stop. We're still in it. I was going to say just like a month ago, but that's still going on. The whole thing with Russia and Germany.
Ukraine.
Ukraine and Russia. Okay, we just had our nose in that. Okay, we're still dealing with that. And then we immediately transition into another conflict between two more countries that aren't the USA. And the Republicans, they're not the best either. You know, they're, corruption and fighting back and forth. It's just radicals all over the place. You know, it's not just the Republicans who are radical. The Democrats are radicals too. They have both transitioned away from the traditional view of things, and they have pushed each other. They pushed each other, plus the fact that they're moving on their own into these radical beliefs, radical systems, and just radical policies, man. It's outrageous. I do not like the fact that there are only two, as of right now today, me and Jason checked earlier, there are only two Democratic nominees right now. Just two. And on the other side, the Republicans, they have over 10 of them. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. It's a dog and pony show. And not only am I tired of it, but I can assure you, most of the population in our country is just fed up with it. Done with it, man. Done with it. I just it's tough, man, when you know, we've lived in this country our entire lives. You know, we've seen things get really bad before. But man, I have never seen things get this bad. Very frightening. On a day-to-day basis, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what to believe. Like I said, you got news that's fake news. You got other countries infiltrating our media. The whole TikTok thing with it being from Japan or China or wherever it's from. It's just bad, man. It's bad. And the United States has never been more vulnerable than they are right now. And part of it is because the people don't have any faith in their leader.
Right.
I mean, could you imagine if Biden says, okay, we're going to war, and the rest of the entire country said, no, we don't want to do this. Now where do we go?
It'll be, you know? It'll be like the protests with Vietnam. Mm-hmm. It would just be a counterculture, a revolution. It would be a massacre.
Right, because that's where I think we're heading, man. I do not see. I just don't see it. I mean, the United States is a land of patriots. We have people who love the country. I love the country. But, you know, even the diehard patriots, man, I just don't see them supporting a war right now. I just don't see it. I don't see how any logical thinking person could say to themselves, you know, let's go for it. You know, I just don't see it. Boots on the ground, I just can't see anybody supporting that. I really can't.
No, I agree with you. I don't get it. Well, so if you're listening to the podcast and you're just trying to learn what we are trying to learn too, you know, be more familiar with this, I just want to give you kind of a rundown of the history of sort of this area that's at war. Mm-hmm. My source is a New York Times article that was posted a few days ago after the initial invasion of Hamas. So in 1949, the newly created State of Israel signed a series of truces with Arab countries that had declared war on it. And in that 1949 agreement, the Gaza Strip was under Egypt's control. So mm-hmm. from the very beginning of Israel's creation, the Gaza Strip was Egypt's control.
Right. They did not they didn't have ownership over this section of land that they're arguing over.
Yep. And then in October of 1956, a few months after the Egyptian president nationalized the Suez Canal waterway, it cut off Israel from shipping. And in response, Israel invaded the Sinai Peninsula and the Gaza Strip. So Israel mm-hmm. is invading a piece of land that is Egyptian-owned. Mm-hmm. And a month later, the United Nations called for Britain, France, and Israel to withdraw their troops from Egypt.
Oh, okay. Now, this is interesting. Once again, the United Nations telling everybody what to do.
Ah.
Which is really interesting because, I mean, if they can tell those guys then, hey, stop it, you know, everybody go back, settle down. Then why can't they do it now? Like, what's going on here?
I don't know. I wish I knew. I mean, is it politicking? Mm-hmm. Is it one country doesn't want to bend to another country?
Mm-hmm. I would have to think it's the politicking, man. The politics around the world is just so corrupt, you know? It's just corruption.
So a few months later, in January of 1957, Israel finally withdraws from Egyptian land, except from the Gaza Strip. So Israel moves out of the country of Egypt, but stays in the section of land that is Egyptian-owned, Gaza Strip. But the Israelites argue that the Gaza Strip never belonged to Egypt.
Never belonged to them.
And about 10 years later, in June of 1967, there was something called the Six-Day War, where Israel gained control via their military force of the Gaza Strip and the Sinai Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
So that is 1967, Israel, through their military, gains control of Gaza Strip, which was Egyptian
territory.
Mm-hmm. So in October of 1973, invading forces from Egypt and Syria tried to persuade Israel to negotiate better terms for the Arab countries. So Egyptian and Syrian forces come into the Gaza Strip and say, look, let's negotiate a better term,
right?
So we don't have to have this conflict.
Right. Let's make it fair for everybody.
2,700 Israeli soldiers died in the 19-day war, and thousands were injured out of a population of about 3 million at the time in the Gaza Strip. We move ahead to 1979, March 26. Egypt and Israel signed a peace treaty at the White House, which led to Israel's complete withdrawal from the Sinai Peninsula. The two countries agreed on the framework of an agreement to allow for self-rule for Palestinians living in occupied territories. So, The Israelites leave the Sinai Peninsula, and they come to an agreement where the Palestinians can live in their own land, which is occupied by the Israelites.
Right.
3 years later, in about 1982, U.S. President Ronald Reagan expressed his support for their full autonomy with some Jordanian supervision. Their full autonomy. President Reagan supports the full autonomy of the Palestinians, but Israel rejected the plan.
Mm-hmm.
So U.S. tried to, you know, come as a mediator, even had the country of Jordan to come in and help sort of mediate this transition.
Mm-hmm.
Israel said no.
Israel, once again, and I'm sorry, you guys, but we're just reading you the facts here, okay? But once again, Israel is the aggressor.
1987, in December, Palestinians living in the West Bank and Gaza Strip starts the first intifada against Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And what is an intifada?
Oh, for those of you who don't know, intifada is a group of people who are there to pretty much get rid of something. So in this case, it would be a group of Palestinians there to get rid of Israel.
And that is the creation of the group Hamas.
Hamas.
So it's 1987.
Mm-hmm.
Hamas has been created because they have no other option of getting the Israelites out of their land.
So for those of you who think that the Hamas just showed up out of nowhere, that they're, it's just an evil group that showed up out of nowhere, that's not how it happened, okay? They tried treaties, they tried negotiations with Israel, none of it worked. Israel will not back down.
1993, Yasser Arafat signs the Oslo Accords with Israel and commits to negotiating an end to the conflict based on a two-state solution. Hamas, which opposed the deal, launches a series of suicide bombings in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So Yasser Arafat tries to, again, come up with a negotiation between two states living in the same territory.
Mm-hmm.
Hamas clearly opposes it, mm-hmm. and, you know, launches suicide bombings. Mm-hmm. Probably not the best answer.
Yeah, but at this point, they're fed up, and, you know, they've been getting attacked for years. Israel has had their boot on their neck for quite some time. Absolutely. At this point.
Yes. 4 years later, in 1997, two suicide bomb attacks kills 27 people, and Israel's prime minister at the time, Shimon Peres, says he would wage an incessant war against Hamas.
Now take that on for size.
We move ahead to September 2000, and it's a few months after negotiations between Israel and Palestine have reached an impasse at Camp David, which is a U.S. Military base. A second intifada begins, with Palestinian youth throwing stones at the Israeli police. So, similar to what you just said, mm-hmm. would happen, like, let's say the U.S. went to war, there mm-hmm. would be protests again. Mm-hmm. You know, just like we had in the 60s with Vietnam. Mm-hmm. In Israel, those same people who oppose any type of people who oppose the war, mm-hmm. you know, the Palestinian youths are throwing stones at the Israeli police. That's the only thing they can do.
Right.
You know, and support for Hamas continues to grow with Palestine because of its readiness to fight Israel. Mm-hmm. So we can't come to an agreement. The youth and the young people are pissed. Mm-hmm. They want to do something, and they know that Hamas, which is now 23 years old, mm-hmm. have put together the resources to be ready.
Mm-hmm. To fight back, by the way.
Yes.
Not start a fight, but to fight back.
5 years later, in September of 2005, Israeli troops pulled out of Gaza, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. But Israel comes under criticism because they restrict the movements of Palestinians coming in and out of the strip. So mm-hmm. they remove the boots of their troops, but they still control the border mm-hmm. and where and when people can leave and go. Mm-hmm. So they're still not
letting it be.
Yep. In January 2006, about 2 months later, it's about a year after Palestine leader Yasser Arafat dies, Hamas wins the Palestine parliamentary election. So Yasser Arafat has passed on. Palestine needs a new leader. Mm-hmm. They have a leader that has ties with the Hamas group. Mm-hmm. 1 year later, in January of 2007, Hamas seizes control of the Gaza Strip with their military might, forcing out the Israeli troops. Mm-hmm. Just reading here. And they kind of go back and forth for a while. But in January 2009, Israeli and Palestinian groups declare a unilateral ceasefire, and Israel withdraws their troops from Gaza and redeploys them on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the troops have gone in and out over the years. They have a ceasefire. Israel pulls out of the Gaza Strip, leaving the Palestinians to be in their own territory, mm-hmm. and Israel does still stay on the perimeter, on the border, you know, just to intimidate.
Right. Pretty much. And this is where it really gets interesting to me, because they both unilaterally, okay, agreed to a ceasefire, all right? I mean, both sides are saying, okay, we're done.
And about 3.5 years later, in November of 2012, Israel kills Ahmad al-Jabari, Hamas's military chief, which sets off more than a week of an exchange of fire in which more than 150 Palestinians and at least 6 Israelis are killed. Mm-hmm. So after almost 3 years of peace, mm-hmm. or I should say a ceasefire, mm-hmm. somehow Israel
kills
their top military chief, mm-hmm. and that ceasefire is over. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Just to put things in perspective here, during this, a week?
Yep.
A week of exchange of fighting?
Yes.
150 Palestinians died. Only 6 Israelites, okay? So everybody grasp their head around that, okay? For every one Israelite that passed, there were about 25, am I doing the right math? Almost 25, 20 people were dying from the Palestinian side, which shows an overwhelming force of Israel.
Right.
It's no contest.
Unfortunately, in retaliation, about 2 years later, in 2014, Hamas kidnaps and kills three Israeli teenagers, prompting attacks from Israel and rocket launches from Gaza in a conflict that killed more than 1,881 Palestinians and more than 60 Israelis.
Once again, pay attention to those numbers. 1,800, over 1,800. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, 60 Israelites.
You know, is Hamas right for kidnapping and killing teenagers?
Of course not.
No. But the rocket launches mm-hmm. and military might of Israel mm-hmm. into a small area of Palestine's, mm-hmm. It's just like shooting fish in a barrel, right. It sounds like.
Under-resourced, under-manned.
There it is.
I mean, yeah. They're...
That's a good word.
You know, they're picking on people who really don't have a chance to fight back.
4 years later, in 2018, remember we talked about Israel standing at the border of the Gaza Strip, intimidating them. Well, the Israelites, or maybe the Palestinians, mm-hmm. they put up a fence mm-hmm. to, you know, just to try to separate them. Mm-hmm. Well, in 2018, at least 170 Palestinians were killed as Israel responded to protests along the fence that separates Gaza and Israel. So, let's just say maybe 170 youths mm-hmm. Or young people protesting this fence mm-hmm. or this intimidation. I say it's an intimidation. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, but that's what it reads to me.
Right.
And somehow the Israeli forces kill 170 people mm-hmm. for their own right to protest.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like, I mean, like you said, like from what I'm reading, the Palestinians were protesting, so that means Israel put the fence up.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Makes sense. Why would they protest their own fence? So, in May 2021, the Israeli police raids the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, which is the third holiest site in Islam. It's got the gold dome on top. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've seen that in pictures or in movies. It's a pretty iconic site.
Mm-hmm. Like the huge, a palace
or something? Yeah, the huge palace. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, adjusting my phone here. So the police raid this holy site, which sets off an 11-day war between Israeli and Hamas that kills more than 200 Palestinians and only about 10 Israelis.
And when we say only, nobody dying is good, but we have to put an emphasis on these numbers.
Right. I mean, because we're talking, you know, we keep talking about, mm-hmm. you know, look at the numbers. And mm-hmm. it's just like, again, it's for every one Israelite, it's 20 Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then that kind of leads us to, you know, what we saw this past week, mm-hmm. which is an example of history of these Palestinians who have just tried everything that they could do, negotiation, ceasefire, this, that, and the other, and it wasn't enough, and they had to. It seems like they had to resort mm-hmm. to this Hamas military group being their only source of action to get the Israelites out of their territory.
Yep, that's exactly what it seems like, and just the overall brutal nature of everything that's going on. It leads you to believe that the Hamas group, the Palestinians, they've gone through some major suffering, man.
Yeah.
You know, they're fighting back, and they are not They're not holding, no holds barred.
And that's the unfortunate part of mm-hmm. of this media spin, or mm-hmm. well, the facts. I mean, the facts right. are that the Hamas group are slaughtering the Israelis, mm-hmm. Men, women, children. They're leaving no quarter. It is sobering to see some, read some of these stories, and to listen to some of these stories. Mm-hmm. I've tried to kind of listen to different Israeli podcasts, and you know, just tried different viewpoints. Mm-hmm. And it is hard to separate yourself when you hear and see some of these images that are coming out, if you can find the right news sources, and think that, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. you know, Israel is mm-hmm. is this is sad, this is terrible, which mm-hmm. it is,
right?
But you know, sitting back and reading the history and the facts, and maybe we said this earlier already, it's Israel is at fault mm-hmm. as well, and any death is terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want war. We don't want death. We don't want needless slaughtering of children and women and men and you know, people who can't defend themselves. Mm-hmm. But this is a conflict that has been going on long before we ever existed, and probably will happen long after. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's frustrating when we think about the U.S. involvement, because it's not going to change anything.
It's not going to change anything, man. I mean, we go in and we intervene now, and 10, 15 years later, they're back at it. You know, what did we risk our troops? What did we sacrifice our troops right. for? You know, all of our resources. It would be for nothing, because that's exactly what's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen. It is clear by this point, Israel refuses to withdraw from the fight against the Hamas, the Palestinians. They want the Gaza land strip. They want it. You know, no negotiations, clearly, at this point.
Right.
You know, it's like you said, it's sad to say it, but man, Israel, they're not innocent. That's all we're trying to convey here. I mean, you got two sides of every story. Hamas is clearly doing some very vain, heinous things over there. Things that you never want to hear about or see or know that are happening. Very cruel, cruel things. That should never happen. We can all agree on that. But we have to put things into context, okay? It's like saying, you know, you come up, you walk into a grocery store, and you know, there's a guy in there pounding on some little dainty chick, you know, and you're like, oh my God, he should never do that. But you didn't see that dainty chick, you know, stab his mother, you know, before right. you walked in.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you got to put everything into context, okay? Israel isn't innocent, and how could they be? They Israel invaded, okay, the Gaza Strip, where the Palestinians were living, doing business, whatever you want to call it, okay? How did they accomplish that? Okay, we have to be real and call it down the middle. Okay, it was not accomplished through polite conversations and, you know, handshakes and ways. Okay, it was done through violence, through bloodshed, and, you know, probably all sorts of other extremely cruel tactics. Make no doubt about it. This is war. This is war, and you know, war is a brutal thing. No matter how holy a community of people are, we all know, you know, Israel is probably the holy capital of the world.
Right.
But with that being said, sins were still committed.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've got all of my thoughts out.
Well, I mean, you know, we could continue to rap for a minute. I mean, because it's just unfortunate, man. You know, that's one of the greatest downfalls of the United States is that we throw stones and then we hide our hands.
Yeah.
And, you know, our allies, they're not too much different, you know.
Right.
They're throwing stones and then they're hiding their hands. And the U.S. is putting out stories, articles, yada, yada, yay, to make the populace support what it looks like they're moving toward doing, mm-hmm. which is going to war, putting boots on the ground, scrambling jets, whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to name it. It seems that somehow, in some way, the United States will not make it out of this unscathed.
No, and it's just, just coming to grips with that. Mm-hmm. I am just so disheartened. Like, and I don't care who, what party would have been, you know, at the president at the time. I mean, we were beats away from, you know, nuclear war when Trump was involved with Korea. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, you know, Obama's had his moments too. So there's been, every presidency has had this.
Mm-hmm. He had the whole thing where he was hunting down the Al-Qaeda guys. Yeah. You know?
Yep. He got Osama bin Laden.
He got him.
But, you know, at what cost?
Mm-hmm.
And, I just, you know, it's been so long that we've had conflicts where we shouldn't even be involved with, man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a generation of soldiers, a new generation of soldiers that, you know, might be deployed for this that, mm-hmm. You know, in the end, it's like, what are they fighting for?
Yep.
You know, like in Vietnam, Lyndon Johnson at the time told the general public, we had to stop North Korea because they were a terror in Asia, in that country, and that they were aligned with Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we let this guy do this to South Korea, you know, they're going to align with other nuclear powers and they're going to, you know, eventually launch the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And so the population at the time and the youth at the time, because we were living in the very, very early real stages of Cold War fear, people were behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But it took a lot of explaining for people. Like, why are we going to a country we've never heard of?
Right.
Why do we care about, you know, mm-hmm. the 45th parallel? Mm-hmm. Why do we care about, you know, Ho Chi Minh? Why do we care about this?
Mm-hmm.
And we lost I mean, there's, you know, there's movies and books galore about Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened after that? The troops, we lost our objective.
Mm-hmm.
We lost our military stance in the world, and we withdrew from Vietnam. Soldiers came home. They were not welcome back. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, they were the first generation to lose a war.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, There are still men alive that fought that war that, you know, still don't get respect.
Yep.
And in the 90s, the Clinton administration wanted to help Somalia and sent a ton of troops there because of the, I don't want to say terrorist groups, but the drug cartel that were starting to run Somalia. The citizens of that country were being railroaded and had no help. Clinton wanted to put boots on the ground there. And, you know, mm-hmm. unfortunately, that was sort of the first CNN war, and that was the first 24/7 war, right? Mm. And when the Black Hawk down, when the Black Hawk helicopters went down, and our troops were captured, paraded around naked and embarrassed, the country was embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And there's movies and books about that moment. And now, if we put boots on the ground again in a war that just doesn't matter, I shouldn't say it, in a war that doesn't concern the U.S. directly, mm-hmm. it's just going to be a failure.
Yep. Here we go again, man.
And I just, and that's, you know, talking about the history of what happens in the Gaza Strip, which we recounted, it's like, the reason why we're talking about this is because it concerns the U.S. now, mm-hmm. militarily, politically, and, you know, everything else. And there's history. There's history of a failure of going into other people's conflicts.
Absolutely.
You know, World War II happened. World War II, the U.S. involvement in World War II happens because of the Japanese invading Pearl Harbor.
Yep.
You know, what happens after that? The atomic bomb.
Yep.
That the United States is still trying to wash their hands of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so even in a war that we quote unquote won, I mean, you know, when you unleash the greatest weapon in mankind's history,
right?
I don't know if that's a win,
right?
So that's just a lot of history and rhetoric to just kind of, you know, this is kind of what the U.S. part of this conflict is dealing with. We're educating ourselves, and I think by educating ourselves, I think we're almost more disappointed in the decisions.
100%. And, you know, hitting on a few things you said, like we mentioned earlier, yeah, the lesser of two evils, you know, you drop the bomb, but in reality, what do? You give other countries the capacity to make their own atomic bomb, okay? And what are we afraid of now today? I don't know, other countries with nuclear bombs.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. So, you know, you get yourself into something, you want to help. The intention is good, sure. There are horrible, horrible things happening over in Israel, you know, to their people, you know, but to be honest about it, man, this is their fight.
Yeah.
This is their fight. And, you know, what you said about the new generation of soldiers, you know, it's not like the old days, you know, where, like I said, you have those super, super, super patriotic guys, you know, who just, you know, charge full steam ahead, all about USA. I don't care what or why. This is what we're doing. We're USA. It's not like that anymore, I don't think. You know, soldiers, they join the army because they want to fight to protect their country, okay? If there's nothing threatening our country, I don't think these guys want to go to war. They'll do it because it's their job. And like I said, the patriotic value in the United States is second to none, okay? Yep. No other country loves themselves the way the United States does. So if the commander-in-chief says we're going to war, we will go to war. And we will fight with everything we got because it's war and we are the Americans. You know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, it's the world we live in, man. And, you know, decisions like that have to be made with a non-biased eye. We cannot let ourselves be tricked or coerced into doing something that will not benefit us in the long run, which this will not. This will not benefit. There is no benefit to us getting involved in a boots on the ground war between Israel and Hamas. They're just because before you know it, Hamas will be attacking the U.S. Does anyone remember 9/11? Nobody wants to go through it again, man. But, you know, if you make the same mistakes, the same things will happen. And, you know, every time America plays, you know, problem solver. You know, those countries hate us, man.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, they don't look at us as saviors or peacemakers. They look at us as bullies, as conquerors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not a good look. I mean, do the people, the powers that be, do they want to be hated by the rest of the world? Because that's what it's moving towards, man. I mean, one day we could look up and we could be all on our own.
Yeah.
I mean, because we're backing ourselves into a major corner here, you know? And it's not good, man. It's not good. It's not good. It really isn't. I just do not see the value in continuing to think this way, continuing to let the United Nations dictate our moves. I mean, for crying out loud, the USA is the superpower of the world. We can do whatever we want. I mean, when you really think about it, we can do whatever we want. If America wants to start a war, how about we tell the UN and anybody else, we're not joining this war. and fight them on that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, fight the UN, go to war with them because we're not following their rules. If the UN wants somebody to intervene, then let someone else do it. The U.S., we can't swing it this time. I mean, man, it's just that simple when you ask me, man. The U.S., we literally cannot afford to go to war. It will break the country, man. And that is a 100% certainty. It's going to break us. We could barely support Ukraine, which also is a mistake. But we can barely support them. I mean, I just don't see it. I just don't see it, man. Mm. More, you know, what is going to be next? More troops, more captured troops.
Right.
You know, more captured civilians that we have to pay for. Well, where's that money coming from? Right. It's coming from our pockets.
Yep.
You know, more trauma. You know, the people, the guys who came back from that war, they were messed up in the head, man.
Yep.
No respect. I mean, these guys go to war, they fight, put their lives on the line, everything on the line. They come back to the country that they fought for, and they can't even get a job.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. Mm.
Man.
And it's a shame, man. It's a shame. To see war and conflict just thrown around like it's nothing. Let's just, hey, let's join this war. Let's join that war. Let's help these guys. Let's pay for this. It's horrible.
Mm. Well, I can't add to that. I agree. I mean, I agree with it. And I hope you've enjoyed or at least been educated like we have been. We're obviously going to keep our nose to the, our ear to the ground on the happenings with Israel. If you are, if you happen to be listening to us over there and for some reason, you can get to us and let us know what you think or what's going on, hit us up we're on social media. We have a Facebook fan group, the Destruction Reviews podcast group. We are on X or Twitter at Destruction Pod. We are on Google, Apple and Spotify podcasts. Mm-hmm. Like us, subscribe, leave us a review. This probably won't be the last time we talk about this, unfortunately, but we wanted to give our listeners out there a chance to, hear what we think. And maybe you didn't know as much as you did when you started this podcast, because educating ourselves has made our opinions on things more clear.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, probably not the best. It's not what social media wants, because the truth is out there, and it's not good. I hope that this has helped.
Yeah, man, I agree. And about the social media. Before we get out, just one last message, and I think I said it earlier before, America shouldn't be on the side of anyone's but our own, okay? And the United States stands for peace, equality, and freedom, okay? Israel is not trying to give the Palestinians freedom, peace, or equality. And you can see that in the history we gave you. They're for everything but that, to be all honest. That's unfortunate to say, but, you know, when you guys are raising those flags and we stand for this, we stand for that, you really need to understand what you're doing. You know, the movement you're creating, you know, you should think about, instead of posting that flag, you know, post our flag and say, hey, we don't want anybody going to war. Why don't you guys just stop? Can't we all get along? Yeah, that's the overall message. That's the overall message.
Well, thanks again for listening. My name is Jason, along with Jeremiah. And, you know, just love one another. And we will catch you on the next episode. And remember, kids, ask your parents' permission before subscribing.